This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Well, we have had a hiatus from our journey through John. And understand there has been fabulous preaching while I was away. It's exciting. But it's great to be back as well. Let me bring us up to where we are. We're going to be in chapter 10, the first 10 verses. But let me remind us, because where we are. You know, before we go further, I have said before that one of the things we need to be careful of as we're reading Scripture is to remember that all these chapter and verse divisions are not in the original text. It's not how John wrote this. He just wrote out a flowing narrative, and these chapter and verse divisions were put in around the 1100s, 1200s, somewhere around there, and for a very good reason. Can you imagine if I said, hey, we're going to look at this passage in John. It's about halfway through. Let's see if we can all find it, right? The chapter and verse divisions are there for a very practical purpose, obviously. So every verse, every word of the scripture has an address, so we can all be on the literally on the same page. But those chapter divisions especially can be a problem, because when you're reading a novel and you come to a new chapter, the author is going in a different direction, or in any other kind of book. Not so here. And in this case especially, we need to ignore that there's a chapter division here. Rather, take a look at what began in 9. So what I'm going to do now is pray, and I'm going to bring us up to date on where we were in chapter 9, and then we'll stand and read the scripture together. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this word that you inspired. Thank you that you inspired this word for us from love, so that we could know Jesus, know him more, know you, and be part of our Father's family. So, Holy Spirit, you're the true preacher and teacher here. Open our minds, hearts, and spirits to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in chapter 9, one of the most exciting and disappointing episodes in Jesus' ministry. He's in Jerusalem. He comes across this man who's been blind from birth, and he heals the man. The man can see for the first time in his life. Hooray! What a great day of celebration, right? And it started off that way with great celebration. You know, he was happy. His friends were shocked and amazed. A number of people couldn't believe this was the same guy for obvious reasons. And his parents, obviously, their boy, their son, who'd never been able to see, now can see and can see them. See his parents who love him. What a great day. Well, then, the religious leaders, the leaders of the temple, the teachers of the law, have got to rain on this parade in just a horrible way. And the whole issue is they're trying to get at Jesus. They don't care about this man. They don't care about his family or his friends. What they care about is Jesus has become their enemy. And this event, which Jesus, by the way, this healing, Jesus does it on the Sabbath. Hello, shouldn't good things happen on the Sabbath? Right? Well, these folks have a problem with it because they say he's working on the Sabbath. They're so confused. We're going to find out, see why, the root of it. They're so confused here, and they use this as a way just to try to attack Jesus, and they make the day miserable for the man and for his parents, and it's heartless and it's cruel. How in the world did they get there? Well, Jesus is... Let us stand as we read John 10, 1 through 10. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. You know, Jesus has no trouble starting off in what looks like is like it's this tangent when he's dealing with people, especially these difficult people, these religious leaders who have gone so far in the wrong direction. At the end of chapter 9, he's talking to them and he says to them, look, and right, this is in the context of healing a blind man, and he's basically saying, you know, you're spiritually blind. And they say, what, you're calling us blind? He says, you know what? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, but you remain guilty because you claim you can see. Then right after, immediately after, same time, same place, same day, same people standing around listening to him, he says to them, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. He's talking to them suddenly about sheep. And they're wondering, why is he talking about this? What's going on here? And what Jesus is talking about, well, first of all, they all knew about sheepfolds. Simply a place you keep the sheep safe. It would be fenced in or gated in or walled in. One way or another, something, but it's a place for the sheep to be safe. And he's talking about those who go in over the wall. You know, if you go home and tonight you're home and you notice if you've got a backyard with a fence or a wall, and you suddenly notice somebody coming over your back fence at 10 o'clock at night, hopefully you'll call 911 and hopefully they'll respond, right? You know, this is wrong. They're not supposed to be coming over. If they have business with us, they come to the front door. This is what Jesus is saying, that there are people who are supposed to be caring for the sheep and they're supposed to be going through a gate which is the right way to enter into the sheepfold, but they're not. They're thieves and they're robbers. And who he's talking about are these religious leaders who are supposed to be leading the flock of Israel. You know, Israel was God's flock. You know, he led them through the wilderness when he created the nation, when he created his people. After he delivered them from slavery in Egypt, he led them through the wilderness. They were difficult. They rebelled. They argued. They complained. He didn't stop leading them, and he didn't stop feeding them because he was caring for them. But these people aren't who have been charged with caring for the people of Israel, the flock of God. They're not doing that, and why? Jesus makes it very clear. they haven't come through the gate. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And later on, very soon, Jesus says, I'm the gate. I'm the gate. By the way, next week we're going to see he uses a different image. He says, I'm the good shepherd. We'll get to that. He's both. But right now, he's the gate. He's the way in. If someone wants to be a healthy shepherd of the sheep, where it begins is with a relationship with Jesus, of coming into relationship with Jesus. And this will bring, for many of us, this will bring to mind what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a very exclusive statement, which many people find offensive. They said, no, we want to be able to get in the sheepfold any old way, our way, my way, right? Jesus says, sorry, these are my sheep. And if you're going to care for them, you're going to come in through me. Now, why is that? Why is that? Because Jesus is the only one who can give new life. Jesus is the only one who can give forgiveness. Jesus is the only one who can bring us into wholeness. Jesus is the one who does all of this so that when someone is going to be a shepherd of the sheep, like these people are supposed to, they can be healthy shepherds. You know, one of the things to be praying when the Lord brings to mind that, oh yeah, we've got a search team and they're looking for our new pastor. When you think of that, pray for your new pastor. We don't know who it is. I have no idea. But the Lord does. Pray for your new pastor that their relationship with Jesus is growing deeper and stronger, week in, week out, month in, month out, that they are becoming closer and closer to Jesus. Because, and you know, you can't always assume that they have gone through the gate of Jesus. Pray they make sure they have, and that they're growing in their relationship, because then they'll know how to be a healthy shepherd of the sheep. Unlike, do you see the contrast he's making with these religious leaders? And by the way, these were the folks who were the big dogs in the religious community. Everybody had to just kowtow to them, listen to them, be intimidated by them. That's what happened. Still shocking to me every time I think about it. This guy's healed after being blind from birth, and they're intimidating his poor parents and trying to intimidate him, but he doesn't put up with it, because now I think he had spiritual 20/20 vision. Now he's got physical 20/20 vision, and he knows that they are not healthy leaders. Jesus says something interesting here, and we have to be careful. You know, basically he's telling a parable about where these leaders went wrong. And the first thing is, they didn't go through him, the gate. They don't have a relationship with him. But then he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. That him is anyone who's a pastor, anyone's a pastor, in this case, any one of the folks that's supposed to be the shepherd of the sheep of the flock of Israel. So who's this gatekeeper? There's a good argument to be made that who Jesus is talking about is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to Jesus. All of us here who are followers of Jesus Christ, we have become followers of Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit has drawn us with cords of love to Jesus, one way or the other. Either we were born into families that were faithful Christians, that brought us into worship, or like me, who did not have that, and many of us didn't have that, I was so empty that when the Lord sent a guy named Steve Curtis, who's a fellow student in my class, to tell me that God loved me, suddenly the emptiness in me, I understood it. I needed to have a relationship with Jesus who loves me and who died for me so that all the junk in my life could be forgiven and gone and behind me. The Holy Spirit, good argument, is the gatekeeper, speaking into the hearts of those who are to be the shepherds of the sheep. And then here's what happens. That shepherd knows the voice of Jesus. And then that shepherd begins speaking with the same tones, with the same a voice that's the echo of the voice of Jesus. And the sheep recognize the voice and come to him. Because when the sheep hear that voice, they know they're safe, they're going to be nurtured, they're going to prosper and thrive. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In the kingdom of God, we are not numbers. There's not one number. When God looks at the entire human race over all of history from the beginning, there's not one person who's just a number in a database. They have a name, and God knows them, and God was working to draw them into his family whatever way he could. You know, as we've mentioned before, and you're probably, many of you aware, what's happened across the Muslim world, where it's verboten to talk about Jesus, you can't have the Bible, it's irrelevant. God has come to thousands and thousands of Muslims in their dreams, and they've become Christians. They've dreamed about Jesus. They've dreamed about, oh, try to get this book and open it up, the Bible. That's just so well documented now. It's been going on for years and years and years. God knows their name. God knows your name. He knows you personally. And the great news is not only does he know you personally, he loves you personally. And he leads them out. So they're safe in the sheepfold, but then he leads them out because, and he walks ahead of them, Jesus says, and they follow because they know his voice. But he leads them out because there are other sheep that are lost that need to be brought in, that need the care of the shepherd who is following Jesus. That's what was supposed to happen with these guys, these leaders. That's what was supposed to happen. And instead, they went selfish ways. Now, like I said before, Jesus has no problem starting and talking about things, and people are like, "What? Where'd this come from? What's the context here?" You know, one thing he's good at is throwing humans off balance who need to be off balance because they're standing on their own platform, which is very precarious, and they need to be pushed off. They need to be sort of nudged off that platform so they can have their feet on his solid ground. That's what one of the things parables do. They make people think. Wait a minute, what's he talking about? What's this got to do with me? And people ask that. They heard Jesus and they didn't understand. So he explains it to them. After he's got their attention, he explains it to them. He says, "I tell you the truth." And by the way, when he says this, "I tell you the truth," it's the words are, it could, in the I think in the King James, in some translations, it'll say, "Verily, verily." In other words, "really, really." In other words, pay attention to this. This is absolutely true. In the Greek, it'll say, "amen, amen," right? Amen. Well, we say amen. When we say amen, what we're saying is, "it is so. Let it be so." No doubt. And he starts off that way. He says, I tell you the truth. Amen, amen. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. He's standing there with the thieves and robbers. And they're not only thieves and robbers, but there are also murderous thieves and robbers. Because they're already plotting to murder him. He's standing there and said, look, the ones who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. This is the jealousy that these people had toward Jesus, who didn't go to any of the right schools, any of the right training. He's from way up north in Galilee, not around Jerusalem, where all the Orthodox people and well-trained people are at the right seminary school, all those sorts of things. He comes from like we don't even know where this guy comes from. We don't know who he is, right? And firstly, all the people are following him. They're chasing him around the countryside to hear his teaching and to be near him and to experience his new life and his healing and his wholeness and freedom from evil spirits. And they're jealous of him. They are jealous because they're the ones who everybody should be listening to. Jesus says, yes, I'm the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Not might, not maybe, not could be. Those who come in through me, Jesus, will be saved. One of the things I just love about being part of God's family and following Jesus is that it's not about remembering a whole bunch of doctrines or ideas. It's about meeting and knowing a person. And then that relationship, just like with any other person that you meet, grows over time and deepens. Except there's no end to the depth and knowledge of that relationship, because we're talking about the God of the universe who has come down and wants us to be friends with him. And there's no end to knowing him. There's no end to the beauty that we can experience. There's no end to the insight and understanding. And there's no end to him working to heal and resolve all the stuff in our lives. Some of it self-inflicted, some of it inflicted by others, but healing all the stuff that causes us turmoil in our hearts, minds, and spirits. And he wants to walk alongside us and help us resolve it, forgive ourselves, forgive others, so that we're living in his family in peace. Those who come in through me will be saved. Listen to this. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. In other words, they'll be nurtured, they'll be safe because they can come and go freely because he's caring for them and protecting them and providing for them. And here's where he makes the contrast perfectly, perfectly clear. And here's your choice, okay? Your choice, everybody's choice. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. He's talking about these people who are the unhealthy, who are the evil leaders, the evil shepherds. Their purpose is not good. Their purpose for you. And it's going in the wrong direction. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Then he says this, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Okay. If you don't want a rich and satisfying life, raise your hand. I don't see any hands. Hello. Of course, we all raise our hands to, I want a rich and satisfying life. Not I'm going to raise my hand because I want to follow a bunch of rules and regulations, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying he's offering a rich and satisfying life. And by the way, I would add a life of adventure, a life of joy, a life of peace because you're following him. It won't be boring. When you're following him, it won't be. If you're truly following him, it won't be boring. My purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. This is one of the many reasons you want to make that decision to follow Jesus and for him to be the gate you go through, the way you go through, walking in his way. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.